Welcome to another edition of Lying on the Beach. I'm Steve Greenberg with
Lois Whitman Hess.
And today our extra special guest is Dr. Peter Wish, a prominent New York City dermatologist who Lois and I have both used. And the big news about Dr. Wish is that he left his traditional medical practice a few years ago because he started to get passionate about a holistic approach to healing focused on something called channeling. And to explain why he made the transition and what channeling is all about, welcome, Peter. How you doing? Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Steve. It's a pleasure to be here. And Lois, too.
Thank you.
So first up, I have to ask, explain to all of us, including me, of course, what is channeling?
Okay. I know it's very alternative, and a lot of people don't understand it. And to me, it was very eye-opening and very alternative when I was first introduced to it. But basically, first of all, you have to understand channeling, you have to agree to the premise that there is a material world and a non-material world, a physical world and a non-physical world. And because channeling really is communicating with the non-physical. Whatever you believe that's non-physical, spirit world, God, whatever that is to you, and everyone has a different definition, it's a way of communicating, for me at least, with higher entities that are much more evolved, that really are have more answers, have more clarity about, things that we go through, problems that we face. And it's a way of connecting or communicating with those entities for guidance, for helping us get through the difficulties, the hardships, the issues that we deal with on the earthly plane. And, this is, I think we all channel to an extent. I don't think anybody is exempt from it. Sometimes when we get these epiphanies, we get these ideas that where did this come from? Or, somebody composes this incredible symphony or writes this incredible book or poem. Sometimes this is inspiration that comes from higher powers, but we don't really realize. Sometimes we get into a certain type of cognitive focus, like a trance or like a state or like a zone that we get into. And all of us do that naturally in, every day of our lives, whether we're a surgeon or a lawyer or, a publicist or someone who is, on TV. When we focus on something, we kind of like change our consciousness a little bit to focus on what we're doing, to try to really get into what we're doing. So when I channel, it's almost like I'm totally conscious, but there are people that channel that are not unconscious, like, famous people like Edgar Cayce. But, and I kind of like go into a zone. I take some deep breaths and I kind of like, get into a zone that I've learned to get into over time and try to get information that's going to help whoever I'm, channeling for or even myself. And it's something that is just, it's helped me so much. I think it's helped a lot of the people that I've worked with. I've used it in my practice on and off when I felt it was necessary. It gives me answers that I can't get, that I don't know about on the, the material plane. Like medicine didn't have all the answers for a lot of the things I was treating. It just didn't. And couldn't tell me always why a patient got something. It couldn't tell me why they weren't responding to something. So it was great to have this higher power, this higher source. And so when I talk to these higher powers, it's like your higher level spirit guide. You all have spirit guides, or your higher self, or your soul, and that's in the non-physical realm. So it's really connecting in that way. Go ahead.
When you have a patient in front of you or a client, and you're channeling, are you channeling your inner power, or are you channeling their inner power?
That's a great question. I feel that I speak to my guides, who might be communicating with their guides, and then it's like playing telephone. You get back the information. The higher spirits, they communicate up there because they don't always they have their own specialty, they have their own fund of knowledge, but they also connect with each other. And if other information is needed to give you what you need, they will communicate, and then I'll get it through my guide. So that's a very profound question. That's no one's ever asked that before.
Oh, thank you very much. I also think, is it akin to maybe so everybody at home can understand it? You know, when you have that little voice inside you that says, don't do this or do this or whatnot, is that like for what a beginner's channeling? I mean, that little voice that we listen to or ignore, is that part of this?
That is part of it. I mean, there are different ways that you get information. That's clairaudience, where you actually hear something. You hear a voice, you hear a song, you hear something that's telling you something. And there's clairvoyance, which, you know, some people, and I'm more clairvoyant because I tend to see things. I tend to see images. That's the way I get most of my information. But sometimes I get clairaudience. So, yes, that's a way of the way you get the information. And there are other clairs, but those are the two most common. So there's clairsentience too, which is also very common, which you get this feeling, you just get this, you just know this, you feel it. It's like a knowing, like, for example, your sister-in-law, you just, you know, they haven't announced it yet, or maybe they don't even know it yet, but you just have this feeling that, like, this woman's pregnant, and then you find out later, that's the case. So there are different ways of getting information, of getting the information to you. And usually the spirit energy decides, based upon who you are, what's the best way to feed you that information. Because I'm a dermatologist and I'm very visual, that's my primary mode of getting that information.
Wow. How did you get introduced to this?
Great question. Okay, if you had told me before I even was introduced to this that I would be doing this, I would have thought you were nuts, because I was totally came from a very traditional, you know, background. I went to medical school. It's more analytical, more left brain than right brain. There was a period in my life in the early to mid 90s, which I was in a really, really dark place and very, very unhappy and trying to, I was reaching out for conventional, therapies, conventional ways of helping myself get out of this funk. And I really wasn't having much success. And someone who I knew not very well, but kind of recommended this person to me that did alternative healing like this, and someone who I could speak to, which had a greater sense of what was going on because of her gifts. And I was very open, and I gave this person a call, and this person was on the other side of the country, was in Seattle, so it was a phone call consultation, and it was an hour session. It was taped. She sent me the cassette tape after I had the session, and that session just blew me away. She knew more about me than I knew about myself. She gave me such elucidation, such clarity about what was going on in my life, and it just made so much sense. I just knew it. She was right on target, and I felt so uplifted, like you took this weight off of me right after that conversation. This did more to me than like 6 months in conventional psychotherapy, and not that I have anything against conventional psychotherapy, but it just wasn't working for me, and this did work for me, and I was just so in awe of this woman and what she did. And then about a few months later, I was doing much better, and I had this urge to just call her again. And I it was such a great feeling just talking to her, because I knew she was, you know, she was talking from a higher level, a higher entity, and it really came through. And it was probably just to check in, just to see, you know, if I was, you know, doing well, but it really wasn't. I really didn't have the pressing need that I did the first time. And I had the session with her, and it was fine. And after the session, we just chatted a little bit on the phone. And she said, Peter, you know, I'm not doing these readings anymore. You know, I'm keeping all my old clients, anyone who calls me that, you know, who's I've, you know, who's used me before, you know, I will speak to them. I will have another session with them. But I'm not taking on any new clients. What I'm doing now is I'm teaching people to do what I do. And I was like, oh my God, that's incredible. You could teach this stuff? And she said, oh, absolutely. And she said, I could learn this stuff? And she said, oh, definitely, without a doubt. And I said, oh my God. And I said, I'm so upset. And she said, why are you so upset? She said, you're in Seattle and I'm in New York. I'm not going to be able to take your class. She said, that's not a problem. I do this one-on-one. We could do it over the phone. And it's not a problem. And I was like, wow. I was just like amazed. And I was a little bit nervous because she said, listen, I'm a really strict teacher. If I find that you're not really putting in the effort, you're not doing the work, I assign homework. I expect you to fax it to me. This was in like 94, 95. I expect you to fax it to me, you know, before the next class. And it was 1 hour every week. And she said, you know, I don't want you missing any sessions. I don't take any excuses unless you're on your deathbed. And you have to pay for 6 months in advance. And I was like, and she sent me a contract. She faxed it in the mail. And I was like, oh, okay, what am I getting myself into? Am I biting off more than I could chew? And anyway, so I signed it. And I did it for 2.5 years. And I'm telling you, that was my favorite hour of the week for 2.5 years. I loved it. It was like, I couldn't wait for the next class. She was incredible. And I learned so much, and it was just, you know, incredible. And then there's a saying, there's an axiom that the student is ready, the teacher appears. And I had three other teachers that were also involved in that, you know, in channeling in some way, in different aspects, that, you know, one of them was concurrent, and two of them were after her. That, you know, it was just so interesting. And I, you know, was involved in workshops that I went to that, you know, where teachers were teaching something along these lines. And, you know, it skyrocketed. And then I started, you know, and I had all these abilities that, you know, I had learned, you know, I started to use it in my life, not only for myself, but then, you know, in my practice, when patients would ask me things like, you know, what's going on? You know, why do I have this? Why did this rash get worse? You know, I have psoriasis. Why does it come and go? You know, and I was like, well, I don't know, really. But then I said, you know what? If you're open, I do something alternative, and if you're open, I'll see what happens. And I would get these answers that were just amazing, because I was taught conventional allopathic medicine, and even though they say that there's, you know, a cognitive and there's emotional reason for a lot of physical ailments, I was finding that, you know, when I would tune in and speak to the, you know, the guides, I would find that was more prevalent. That was really deeper than the physical aberrations. That was like the primary aberration that was causing the physical aberration. That really was a message to tell the person about, you know, trying to guide them through life, trying to, you know, we live in a physical dimension, so the physical is usually the strongest way to get our attention. But a lot of us don't read the physical. We don't know what our bodies are trying to tell us. It's like, you know, we when our emotions, you know, emotions and our thoughts, that we can't really, you know, they're not tangible. So they're a little bit more remote to us, and our spiritual sense is more remote to us. But the physical is tangible, and we live in the three dimensions, so we could see it, we could touch it, we could, you know, so that the body tries to tell us things. And that was amazing to me, because it was a revelation to me, and I was learning so much about how we heal and well-being in a different way than I'd ever learned in allopathic medicine, you know, going to conventional medical school. And that really prompted me to write a manuscript, which, you know, now a major publishing company is considering. I just sent them an edited version, you know, for publication, about all this and about what I learned from doing channeling, and how, you know, how we really are not victims of physical ailments, but how we are responsible, but also not only responsible, but we're able to heal ourselves. We have, you know, we're not just pawns that someone could just, you know, give us a medicine. Although I think medicine is still important, and I think surgery is still important, but we have a role in how a lot of diseases manifest, and we also have a role in healing ourselves, working with other forms of therapy, working with other forms of conventional treatment. So it just was eye-opening, and it really blew my mind. And doing this was just an education in itself, and I learned so much by doing it, by channeling, because it was information to me that just blew me away.
So when you did that with a lot of patients during your traditional practice,
yes,
did anyone freak out, or was everyone accepting?
Very interesting. I would always preface it, you know, in saying that I do this alternative thing where I get information from higher sources, and if you're open to it, I always ask, because I would never impose anything on anyone that, you know. And there were two times I remember where I did ask, and someone said okay, but they really weren't okay with it. And that was only two times out of, like, I can't tell you, hundreds of times. But, you know, and the two people, they both said the same thing. They didn't even know each other, but they said that they were very highly religious people, and this was against their religion. And I backed off, and I said, well, listen, I'm not going against, you know, any religion, but if you feel that way, I will certainly not continue to do this with them, with you. So that was, it only happened twice, which was really interesting. And it did happen once in my private channeling practice, because I also channel, you know, from home. And but it was someone who came to me, but was brought by a friend. It really wasn't, they didn't initiate it. They didn't really want to come. They were kind of dragged, and they didn't really, so that's something else I learned. It has to be initiated by the person, or it has to be consented to by the person who you're channeling. You really shouldn't, you know, impose, or, and it really should be their wanting, their desire to, you know, their need, and not do it because someone's pushing you in that direction. Another story about pushing someone in that direction, which I find very interesting, was that before I was doing this, and I was one of my mentors, she lived upstate, and she would come down to New York, and she would see people, you know, for a week in her son's apartment, and, you know, she would see one after the other for a whole week. But this girl I knew had gone to her and loved her and was trying to get her boyfriend to go, and he really didn't want to go, but she kept pushing him. She said, it's the greatest thing. I'm going to pay for you. You'll have a session with this person, this channeler, and it will be so, so wonderful. He didn't really want to go, and he, like, backed out at the last minute, you know, and then he just was scared. He was afraid. He didn't understand it, and you should never push somebody who doesn't want to go. But it was interesting, because years later, he was arrested for doing some illegal stuff that nobody really knew about. But probably one of the, you know, it dawned on me, one of the reasons why he didn't want to go is because he was so afraid that this channeler might see something that was, he didn't want her to know about it. He didn't want her to bring up. So it just, it's just very interesting that happened. But I think I'm getting off the point.
No, you're getting right on the point.
No.
Which leads to the next point. Tell us about the goodwill, or whatever the proper word is, that happened to several people because they channeled. Like, how did it change their life and their thinking and their opinions and their attitudes and their behavior?
Well, I think that hopefully it helps give them more clarity. It helps them understand their situation, understand what they're going through, gives them counseling, helps them, makes their choices, help them with their choices or their, you know, decisions that they're making. And I think it's really up to them to decide, once they're given the information, how they want to proceed. Whether, you know, because not everybody's ready to take those steps. They might hear it, but I've had some clients that have come to me periodically for this. It's always the same issue. And, you know, and until they really are really ready to deal with it, or to face it, or to tackle it, or to work on it, you know, they keep repeating this stuff. And that's okay, because I know healing, you know, we all heal in our own way, in our own pace, and, you know, when we're ready. And sometimes they need to be told several times, before they really work on themselves. And I understand that. I don't, you know.
But give us some case studies of, like, what happened without names, you know, or anything close to their association, you know. How did it change someone's life?
There was this one woman who came to me. Also, she was sent by a friend. It was a dermatological. She came to my office for a dermatological problem. She was sent by her friend who saw me for dermatologic problems. But I had also done readings for her friends. So she came to me. She was a very high-powered executive woman in media, very strong, powerful. She had a recurrent skin problem, which she had been to many dermatologists in the city and wasn't, you know, getting the benefit that she was looking for. And I went over her history and all the other, what everyone else had done. And I think they had done everything correctly. And, you know, it's just, there are some problems that are just, you know, we just don't have all the answers for. We can't help. And I told her about, you know, the channeling, and, you know, I could tell that she was a little bit like rolling the eyes and, you know, okay. And, you know, I was tuning into her condition, and I got this really heavy feeling in my left chest, in the soft tissue of my left chest. And I was feeling like, and I was hearing this thing like, have her get, you know, her breast checked, have her get a mammogram. I said to her, you know, have you had a mammogram recently? And she said, no. I said, well, you know, I know this is a little bit, you know, unusual, but for some reason I feel that this is all related, and I think you need to do that. And she, I could tell she was very disappointed in me. She thought I was a real quack, and she thought I was, you know, and I felt terrible because I saw the expression on her face, and I was like, and I just felt awful. And she left the office, and, you know, I never saw her back, but her friend came to see me for her own, you know, for her own problem, you know, a few months later. And she just happened to say, by the way, I sent my friend to you, and just want you to know you said something to her. And she had a mammogram, and they found a small cancer on her breast, and it was very small and early, and they removed it, and she's fine. And she told me it had something to do with the session you had with her. And I was like, because I felt terrible, and I felt like, you know, I've disappointed this lady. You know, I didn't think she really believed me, but I don't know. She went, and it gave me, you know, a good feeling that, you know, it's, I'm not coming up with these things out of the blue. And, you know, sometimes you wonder, sometimes, you know, something comes through you, and, you know, it's normal to doubt ourselves. And am I really translating the right message? Am I really telling them what I'm getting? And, another story, which I was questioning myself. I saw a woman just a few months ago, and she was Spanish speaking mostly. Her English was not that great, and my Spanish was not that great either. So I did something with this app called Google Translate, where I speak in English and it speaks to her in Spanish, and it's also written down. And the whole session was back and forth. I was saying English, she was hearing Spanish, and she could look at it, and, you know, it was a great device that really helped. And between each question she asked and question and answer that I gave her, there was a pause. You know, she was processing, she was listening until she came up with her next question. But in one of the pauses, the cellular machine, the cellular device, started talking in Spanish, did nothing that I had said. And, you know, and I saw the English because, it, you know, every time it's spoken in Spanish, it was written in English. And it was like, it was very interesting because it was very similar to what I was saying, but it was elaborated differently. It had a different energy to it, but it was definitely the same message, but just very different. And I said to her, did you say that? And she said, no. And I said, I didn't say that. And then I said, El Espíritu dice esto. The spirit is speaking. And she knew exactly that it was the spirit, because first of all, it was confirming what I was telling her, but in a different way. And she was a very spiritual woman. She was very church going, and she knew that the spirit was all around her, because she had actually shown me afterwards. She said she showed me pictures on her cell phone of this light that's been around her the past week, of like an orb or something. And, you know, in church, and, you know, in her home, and everything like that, and she knew that that was the spirit coming through, and it was just reiterating or confirming the message that I was giving her, and it kind of gave me, you know, confirmed what I was saying, and it also confirmed the message, you know, that she was getting, and it was just amazing, and it was just like, you know, getting that message that I wasn't speaking, but it just meant the same thing. And it was, so that,
Peter,
that was a revelation. Yeah, go ahead.
So you mentioned earlier that two of the people who didn't buy into it were very religious. And I find that kind of surprising, because I could see if someone was very science-oriented, medical-oriented, they may not buy into this. But if you're religious and spiritual, and this certainly has a spiritual side to it, why wouldn't a religious person be more into going for something like this as opposed to rejecting it?
Great question. Okay, I will answer that. I think that was a ruse, and I think they just weren't open to it, and I think they really didn't want to heal, because not everybody wants to heal. Some people need to hold on to their diseases. But they both did say to me they're both the same thing, and they didn't even know each other. They were separate patients. This is against the teachings of Jesus Christ, and I can't listen to this. And I said, okay, I would never go against the teachings of Jesus Christ, and I don't feel that it is. But if you feel that way, I will not go on with this any further. But one woman, she was a doctor, and she was very, she was a physician, and she had this skin condition. She had been to everybody, she showed me a list of all the doctors she'd been to and all the medications she'd been on and all the treatments she'd been on. And I was looking at the list, and it was like, oh my God, I don't think there's anything else I could offer this woman. She's been on every single dermatological medicine for this condition that I could think of, including the strongest medicines like Accutane, and nothing has worked. And she had it all documented in her, her history that she showed me. And I said, well, obviously the universe must want me to read for her. So I said, I told her this is what I did and this is what I offered. And she said, yes. But then while I was doing it, she said, this is against the teachings of Jesus Christ. So I said, okay, I'm not going to do it. But I knew afterwards, and I got afterwards, that for some reason she needed to have this condition. She needed it. It was some people, and it's hard to understand why some people hold on to diseases. It gives them a purpose. It gives them, maybe it's not to go out, maybe not to date, like her face was full of acne and full of scars. But there's a reason they hold on to it, and I had to, she was just maybe showing other people in her life, seeing none of the doctors could do, there was a reason. But it's very interesting that you asked that question, because I really felt that at least that woman, she didn't want to heal. And, when I started to give her information, that was, she didn't want to hear it. But that's, anyway, so that's, that's very interesting that you picked up on that.
Who would be the, for our listeners right now listening, who would be perfect candidates for your services at this point? I mean, someone with a dermatological problem, or someone who's depressed or homesick, or what are the characteristics of someone who should reach out to you at this point?
Good question. When I had my practice, that was the way people came to me. Most of the people came to me because of their dermatologic needs. That was, as a healer, there are many ways to heal. And, that was the skin, and it opened up, deeper problems that were going on with, underneath. Now people come to me because of lots of different reasons. I mean, it could be relationship issues, it could be finance issues, it could be problems with their boss, it could be health issues, it could be, something that is troubling them about their life. They're at an impasse, they're dealing with something that they don't know how to solve, they're having trouble. They feel that they need some guidance, they need some help, they need some elucidation, enlightenment, clarification. Some people just come to know that if they're making the right choices. Sometimes it's confirmation. Sometimes I'll do a reading on someone, it's like, it's exactly what they're doing, but it's like it's really confirming that, yeah, I'm doing the right thing. Hello? I'm sorry.
Yeah, we're there.
I'm right here. Nothing.
Oh, okay. It's a confirmation that they're on the right track. So, it's usually something that they're curious about, or they're having a difficult time with, or they're, there's no one thing. I mean,
So, Dr. Wish, how do people reach you? How do they, is there a website, a call-in number? How do we tell people to reach out to you?
Okay, I have an email. It's called peterwishchanneler@gmail.com. And,
well, spell that out, because your wish is your...
Okay, I'm sorry. Yes, my wish is spelled differently. Peter, P-E-T-E-R. Wish is W-I-S-C-H, Channeler, C-H-A-N-N-E-L-E-R, @gmail.com.
Okay, that's great. So people should reach out to you through your email.
Right.
Right. I just want to go, before we finish up, I want to go back to the healing thing, because what you said was something that I've often thought about. Steve and I had discussed it. Sometimes we get into real debates about it. But, I mean, we're all the same, made of the same human being qualities. But there are just people that go on in this world that just don't want to heal. As you said, that is their comfort zone of not, of an excuse of not doing certain things. So they would not be really, I mean, they could be great patients while you're speaking to them, but the chances of them paying attention and acting upon, you know, what you are telling them is highly unlikely.
Right. Or they do want to heal, but they don't want to go through the work, because healing is you know, it's not for the feeble. It's you know, sometimes there are some deep issues that people have to deal with that they're not ready yet. But, you know, maybe they need to, you plant a seed, and maybe they need to think about it and digest it. And, you know, each time they speak to you or each time they consider it, they might move a few steps closer to healing.
So right.
Right. So I always feel it's important to tell everyone what you get, and you know, and I don't take it personally if you know, they don't work on some of the information, because I realize that, you know, that's part of human nature, and you know, some people need more time, and you know, healing is a very it's a very personal thing. It's very, you know, everyone heals differently, and everyone heals in different ways at their own pace, at their own time, and their own schedule.
I can say this has been absolutely fascinating. You were or are a terrific dermatologist. I'm a big fan of Peter's. But this new aspect and how you've made a career change with the channeling is just nothing less than amazing and very interesting. And I think you should be commended. So,
bravo! Bravo!
Absolutely.
Thank you. I love it. I really do. It's made healing. It's made me get more excited again about healing, and gives it a boost, because it comes at it from a different direction. So I still feel like, you know, even though I've left medicine, it's like, you know, I'm still doing, you know, what I was meant to do in this lifetime, is be a healer, just a different aspect, different way.
I think that's amazing and wonderful. And I think on that note, Alois, you agree?
I can't think of a better way to end it.
Okay. So once again, thank you, Peter. We really appreciate you giving us this time. It's been fascinating. And I'm Steve Greenberg with
Lois Whitman Hess.
And we have been Lying on the Beach. So long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.